Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com, the Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro-broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is Muck and Fun Day. It's also the 17th day of April 2017. It's 12:04 Pacific time. I'm your host, Henry Shively. And I do believe we are joined by one of those sort that give that other sort a bad name in the form of J.D., U.S. Marine, fighting tyranny, riding shotgun.
Yes, you are, Henry. And as always, an honor and a privilege to be fighting the propaganda war with you from the trenches.
And as always, an absolute honor and privilege to have you here, brother. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 641-715-3610. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029, and then the pound sign. Again, that's 641-715-3610, and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you have to punch in *6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and talk with JD and myself. Well, it's currently 45 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 52 degrees for the Klamath Basin today. And we just got rain, more rain coming, and I think there's only one day, I think Wednesday or Thursday's under 50 degrees, so we're gradually, slowly, slothfully going into the springtime. Maybe we'll get spring next month. Who knows? Anyway, for your weather coast to coast, how are things today out there? Nazi joyzy, JD.
Well, Henry, over here in my neck of the woods, northeastern seaboard state of Nazi Jersey, at about 120 feet above sea level mean and about a mile away from the Atlantic Ocean, we currently have, well, kind of a pleasant day. It's a little gray out there. We do have some heavy overcast, but it is 73 degrees. It will be dropping down into the high 40s tonight. And then tomorrow, well, it's definitely going to be distinctly cool. Although yesterday we were near 90 degrees during the day, and that was in the shade. But tomorrow we'll be lucky if we get into the low 60s. And then by Wednesday, we'll be lucky if we get into the 60s at all. So we got a cooling trend coming in here. And then we get back into a little bit more normal spring-like weather for us.
Well, I'm just very happy for you, J.D.
It's a horrible, horrible existence, Henry, yeah. Having to go through spring like this.
Yeah. But then again, you live in Nazi Joyzy.
Oh, well.
Anyways.
Well, we do have a claim to fame here, Henry. New Jersey is the state noted for having more corrupt politicians in prison than any other state.
Hoorah. Hell yeah. Be proud, so brother. Walk with your head held high.
What that means is the other states are either really sloppy about putting their corrupt politicians, because all politicians are corrupt. They're very sloppy about putting theirs in jail. Or it's just these guys were so arrogant, so obnoxious, they didn't even try and cover their tracks.
Well, I think that they're actually the trend, wouldn't you say, in what we're seeing, I mean, unfolding. It's becoming more and more. Everybody's going to be more like Nazi Joyzy and just not give a shit. Throw it right out in your face and say, suck on it, Goim.
Well, pretty much.
Yeah, I believe so.
So what do we got, Henry? Because, of course, we are coming up to April 19th, and, you know, and that is a very special day for anyone who's aware of history. And there's also a legacy of events that occur on or around that date. Now, we thought maybe this blood sacrifice weekend we might see something, but it's not important to them as it is to Christians in general. But April 19th is important to the New World Order, so I'm wondering if something's going to be coming up this week.
Oh, you never know, but, you know, in the interest of your statement on preserving history, I think that this is kind of, this is an I told you so, this is something that's been happening to us for a long time, and now they're going up the food chain. Google takes out major contract to delist InfoWars from its search index. And we're going to talk about this a little bit as soon as we return.
Oh, sounds like somebody's in a pissing contest there, Henry.
Oh, buddy. But no, we're gonna straighten this all out and so that it's understandable in the real world. And we'll do that as soon as we return from these messages from our most outstanding sponsors. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
We'll be right back. Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, Google takes out major contract to delist InfoWars from its search index. And, you know, when Alex was, I of course had to tune in for a little bit to see what old fat ass had to say about it. And what he said, you know, this isn't one of these sites with these side issues. This is the tip of the spear. What he meant to say, this ain't sites like From the Trenches World Report. This is about InfoWars, tip of the spear propaganda. But, you know, even at that, the way they're playing this, it's laughable. This is so you'll watch InfoWars and the big struggle while the real sites that are telling the goddamn truth are removed. But in the end, you'll win because the tip of the spear will be there. Your alternative media, so your so-called alternative media will be there in the form of InfoWars.
Now, wait, Henry, if I remember right, InfoWars is controlled by the Zionist Jews, and Google is controlled by the CIA, which is controlled by the Zionist Jews, so this is looking like another one of them false, we hate each other type fights.
Exactly. Another false left-right paradigm. I mean, the bottom line is you have the two major factions fighting here, and they both have equal juice. So to think that they're going to take out the controlled opposition and Alex Jones, and that's really what he is controlled opposition. And you're going to, and like I said, you'll keep your, this is what this story, this is what, they're going after those sites. There's a lot of little sites have just been, they've removed them, you know, but it's inconsequential. They were false news sites anyway. They're just trying to lump InfoWars in there and get the tip of the spear.
The tip of the shaft?
Yeah, the tip of the shaft. You know what's at the tip of the shaft. You know and I know. A dickhead. Anyway, Google has hired contractors to remove or limit Alex Jones. Oh, God forbid.
God forbid. No, I do believe that's called censorship, so I'm sure they're going to run the argument, you can't do that, that's censorship. That goes against the First Amendment, because, you know, when it concerns them, well, the Bill of Rights, I got protections.
Well, what this article goes on to do is talk, you know, Alex Jones is pretty much mainstream, but all these weird slants and stuff, we got to, you know, it's relating him to this false news thing, you know, like the From the Trenches World Report .com and sites out there like that, you know, that are all these weird things about things like common law and, War Powers Acts and such things as that, you know, at least Alex doesn't talk that, but man, we tell you what, we've got to buckle down on this. The people have a right to hear what CNN has to say, exclusively. According to a search engine evaluator for Google, all contractors have been instructed to actively rate InfoWars as low quality and untrusted site. This email was sent out to all contractors, and it shows a picture of this email. This shit's too little for me to read, so we'll just drop down. The instructions to the contractors provided. InfoWars is not an outright false site, you see. See, because what we're going to have here is a program, people, another show, and Alex, he's the star this time. As we take out all of the alternative media that is telling, I mean, just telling you InfoWars is the goddamn mainstream. And if you can't see that, hell, you know what, I'm wasting my time talking to you. I mean, he preaches the false left-right paradigm for 20 years. And then steps up and, no, he's the right paradigm and it's the right paradigm. No, not the right paradigm. You mean the right paradigm. It's right, don't you know? InfoWars is not outright false bullshit. Not outright. I mean, it's the spin, I suppose. I guess it's the agenda.
Well, you know, Henry, again, these sites like Alex Jones, the way they gain credibility is they do tell a little bit of the truth or some truth some of the time, because if they lied 100% of the time, as Nixon said, you can't fool all the people all the time. So he's got to establish some baseline of credibility. So sometimes he tells the truth or a little bit of truth's mixed in there, but that's the best of it.
Well, their big problem here is there are a number of controversial, often debunked claims that the site regularly promotes. What you're saying is you want the 9/11 removed and you want the Sandy Hook removed, and then Alex Jones can go on forward being the right-wing propaganda arm of the propaganda machine. InfoWars articles must be rated low to medium. And what do you think they have been doing to goddamn From the Trenches? Man, I watched it with my own eyes. I mean, do they have us so bottled up, people? There's no use to complain about it. We cannot get our, an individual server. I'm going to tell you guys something, we had our server, they came up and they do an evaluation. I guess they do this every once in a while. And so they wanted to talk to me on the phone. So I talked to them on the phone. They said, well, are you any problems? I said, you know my problems. I'm being filtered out. The articles are being filtered out. Help people. I've sent you emails with people going on saying, I'm typing in From the Trenches, worldreport.com, and it won't come up. And you ask me, there's something there is a problem here. So the next thing you know, about a week later, we get a communication from an outfit that works on opening websites up, to open up the search engines, to get them for a price. For a price, supposedly these people can unclog the plumbing. So we said, well, how much? And they said, well, it starts at $200. So we said, well, okay, let's look at it. Because I'm telling you, man, if you people could have watched what I have watched, you would know. I mean, there's no goddamn doubt about it, what's going on here.
Henry?
Yes?
For a couple months now, when I tried to log on to the trenches to read one of the stories,
Yeah. It
won't let me do it. It keeps, this box keeps popping up that says Stack Overflow to Line Zero. I don't even know what the hell that means. It's just this little box in the middle of the screen. It pops up, and it only does it on your site. And there's another kind of controversial site that it does it to.
I have no doubt when people, write me the emails.
Has anybody told you about that?
Well, it's a different thing. I mean, there's a 100 different ways they can block, the information from getting out. What I see him doing to From the Trenches is bottling it up. Here's an email. This is an email I got from Spike. This is about a week or so old. When I try to go to the site, it won't let me until I disable the program for a second and re-enable it real quick like. So, I mean, he has like a security. It's like a security that came, I guess, with Windows 10. And the new security for Windows 10, well, what'd you get on From the Trenches, worldreport.com? They're looking out for you. And so you're looking at disabling your goddamn program, which is what Spike did, and he got it up and stuff. But everybody doesn't know how to fight through this shit. Now, you have to look at it like this. The people that know about From the Trenches, if they can't get on it, they're going to find out goddamn why and find a way to do it. But we're talking about what we're trying to reach are new people. And if you go get even new programming, and you've never been to From the Trenches, you're never going to find it. Because you're going to have to type in From the Trenches. You're going to have to disable programming put out exclusively to stop you from getting there. Now, this hasn't affected old Alex Jones. He's talking about, them talking about doing this to him. When he acknowledges, he acknowledged it today. Oh, the sites on I think he said other issues or something. Other sites with some kind of, I don't know what he said, it pissed me off, I remember. Issues have been hit, but this is the tip of the spear! We're talking InfoWars here. Take your attention off of all of the sites being taken out right in front of your fucking eyes and keep your eyes on on InfoWars, because this is important. We're giving you the mainstream media with a right-wing slant on it here. This is what you want. But I mean, for the people out there, when we put up the article on top of the site, we've had it up there, telling people we need goddamn help. And this one son of a bitch writes me back and goes, well, well, hold it. Well, wait a minute, says he. Like somebody I'd like to have my hands right around his neck. You know what I'm saying? Hold it. Now, if you're getting, what the hell, you know, 300,000 or, well, we had 6,000, we were saying, people that come every day. If you got that money, or four, I can't remember what the numbers are, but the bottom line here is, if you're getting that's way more than it costs to run that site. Oh, but we ain't getting fucking no money from every goddamn one of you, and I guess that's an excuse for you not to send anything either. It should be free fucking gratis for you, buddy. And I should put your comment up and say, well, goddamn, if they got all this money, they wouldn't need all this money. Oh, I guess that makes goddamn good sense, don't it? Of course. Man, that makes sense. But only if a handful of you send enough, just barely, to keep the son of a bitch chugging along. Maybe we can starve old Henry out. You think for one fucking moment in your minds that Alex Jones would do this for what I'm doing it for? For one second, do you think it? Because I'm here to tell you, shit, for 10,000 times what I'm getting, he wouldn't do it. I live in fucking poverty. Destroying my goddamn work.
Remember, Alex Jones and his son, they got to go marlin fishing down there in the Bahamas.
Exactly. But I mean, this moron, I mean, that's one person. Every once in a while, there's some son of a bitch I'd like to have right in front of me. Because I wouldn't knock him right out, which I could real fucking easy. I would beat him slow. I would take him down and disjoint their goddamn legs, and then their fucking ankles, and then their wrists, and then their elbows. And I'd be talking to him the whole time, explaining things to them. But here we have it, and then, you know, follow, here's another one. Hey, y'all, just wanted you, numerous articles are being censored for security reasons, stating there is a problem connecting securely with the website. What's going on, and how do I prevent it? Well, what's going on is they're trying to shut us down. They do not, Alex Jones is no fucking threat to them people, or he wouldn't be out there as big and where he can be heard. I mean, they wouldn't be having him on, you don't hear about From the Trenches on CNN News. Even with this is how they eased it out there to try to get people to embrace it. Nobody trusted a goddamn word of this mainstream bullshit. So they get that dyke over there on CNN, that goddamn, what the hell is its name? Rachel Maddow. The man, you know, the man trapped in a woman's body. And, I mean, just one after another, Alex Jones up there. This is all preparing for this whole bullshit thing with Trump. Alex Jones, I mean, I know broadcasting. I went to school for it. And if you're wanting to get rid of somebody or to stop them or slow them down, you don't put their name on a bigger... just like you'll never hear Alex Jones say from the Trenches World Report. Hell, when he took an exclusive film footage of ours and used it on InfoWars, he didn't give us goddamn credit. Now, if that would have happened the other way around, there would have been threats of lawsuits and shit. But hey, you know what? We're just here to get the fucking information out.
Henry?
Go ahead. I heard Flea and Misty. Go ahead, Misty, because you're the lady.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Henry, you were talking about the advertisers. Well, I tried to click on this morning on the whoever's doing the vape pens, you know?
That's Spike.
Okay, on Spike's website,
mm-hmm.
And it's popping up something that says, "This if you're the owner, then you need to resubscribe." Or it's I was going to forward it to you, but then I thought, well, I didn't know it, but I was trying to, you know, find out how much his vape pens were for, because I want to try to start vaping instead of
it's much better.
But anyway, it will not let me get on there.
Oh, I don't doubt you one goddamn bit. I mean, this is how you keep people from having, I mean, you think about it, people. You go out and you build something. I mean, here are the lanes that you're going to travel. And here's what you can expect here, I mean, if you were a businessman like Donald Trump, you would expect that when you reach this level, this is how things are going to be. Then when you reach at this level, this is how things are going to be. Because you know you're building something. It's getting bigger and bigger and bigger and harder to maintain. So at some point, you have to take care of What you can't take care of yourself. That's never, I mean, when the trench is reached about to the level where we were going to go, I mean, if you believe the numbers that they're putting out, which now they've even attacked the analytics and everything else, I mean, you can't believe anything. But, I mean, the numbers now are bigger than then. But at that point, I mean, everything was going exactly as it should. And that's when they said, you need to shut this down. You, and start getting emails from concerned people out there. You know, these Zio Christian fucks. Saying, you go, Israel, yours is Nazi side or something. No, it ain't no Nazi side. We're against Nazis, too. We're pro-goddamn liberty. Go ahead, Flea.
Henry, have they been screwing with your email, too?
Oh, God almighty, brother. You mean even having it so it works? Well, yeah. You know, you guys, I mean, I know you guys, Flea's had to say on the comment section that, you know, you guys are getting shit out there, but you imagine the shit that I get. Just try to. But I mean, when they come right out and tell you what they're going to do, I mean, this is, do you think that you live in some kind of free fucking country? Where you can go forth and do, I mean, it's like that lie when you're a little kid in school. Any little child in America can grow up to be president. If you're a pedophile, baby raping, Masonic, dirty church, son of a bitch and low life parasite, you can. But you got to work hard at it. You got to work hard to be the best at it you can. The bottom line here is, I mean, oh, Alex Jones, I mean, here you're, I mean, this is a game, people. It's a game to them. The threat, the greatest, and you think what really is the threat to Alex Jones? Is the threat to Alex Jones Google or the truth? The truth he's not telling. The truth, I mean, just like everything we've said now, when we were going through this thing, when he was being the Zionist shill he is and advocating for Trump, I mean, me and Trump's the same guy. You got to vote for him. Go out there and do it. I know they don't know. They ain't stupid to vote. God damn it. It's the only chance we got. Go out and do it.
I know what his linchpin is. It's his Jewish ex-wife.
Yeah, I know. You know, I seen that. You know, there's been a couple articles sent in about, you know, his some custody battles and stuff. You know, back when I guess he left his wife or whatever in the fuck he's doing over there. The bottom line is, you know what? I don't give a monk's fuck about Alex Jones's life. I mean, I call the man a traitor for what he's done. But, you know, when I heard about that, you know, they were, that he'd left his wife or she'd left him or whatever in the hell the deal was, you know, you know, I hate what the man does. But what went through my head is his kids, to be honest with you. And what this does to children, because I've seen it. And I felt bad for his kids, to be honest with you. I despise Alex Jones. He's a goddamn traitor. But his private life is none of my business. And I mean, this isn't tabloid, man. We're here trying to talk facts and get back to reality so that we can fix this mess. But, you know, as far as it's what this game they're playing here with, you know, it's bullshit. There is no way. I mean, he's talking about, you know, he's getting taken out of searches and, I mean, bullshit. The thing is, they cannot bottle it up and contain it. And this is the procedure they use to bottle and contain us. They would not use that on InfoWars. It would be fruitless. It's too big. There's too many people that, like I said, you know, if I couldn't get on there and I know the son of a bitch is there and I want to go there, I'm going to find a way to get there around their bullshit. But if you're just somebody coming on, I mean, the first time you're going, God damn it, something's wrong in this country. Any issue, the truth about Donald Trump, you type it in. And if there's anything on, From the Trenches World Report, you're not going to see it. From the Trenches World Report won't even come up if you type in From the Trenches fucking World Report.com. Let alone if you're looking for a subject. The biggest threat to Alex Jones is the truth. This year, he's a part of what he's trying to act like they're condemning here. When they tried to shut us down when I was over at RBN, when they tried to seize the site. Oh, come to find out, Alex Jones had 5 sites with the goddamn server. And, you know, and goddamn John Stattmiller, the guy, he actually knew the fucking guy that was doing it. And they stopped it when we got the FBI on the phone and cornered him. They're all shit. It's all one big organization, people. They're fighting amongst themselves about who's going to have everything that belongs to us. Who's going to have our property. But beyond that, man, you know, when they sit down for drinks and caviar at the goddamn golf club, They're really friendly to one another, smoking their cigars. Anyways, yeah, for you people, I mean, I have no doubt. I know what they're doing to the site. I see it every day. I've been looking at it since it was the one page when it was just begun. I've been watching it every day. And I saw it. I mean, I'm telling you, it accelerated. There was nothing could touch it going up. I mean, just up, 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 up. Whoa, wait a minute. Come the call or the email from Illinois. With the Barry Satoros gangsters in Illinois. Shut your site down by this weekend or we will shut it down and you'd be better off just to start another site. I guess the implication was that even if you start another site after that date, we're going to come right at you. We're going to attack you. And of course we said F you. And we live, I mean, everything went to the bottom again and we work, as soon as, I mean, this latest thing with taking us out of the searches, this is after we built back from that. I mean, we built back up to, we were almost up there again and they said, hey, you know what? You people are fucked. Because they control every mechanism. You think you're going to get together and do something about them? Unless you're ready to pick up those guns, don't even talk about it. They control the mechanism. How do they control it? Through that fiat dollar. Through that Federal Reserve. That's how they've controlled it for 100 years. Everything. That is any idea that you had of there ever being any free press in the past, flush it. It's a goddamn lie. There never has been. There's never been any information coming to you that they didn't have control of. Now, information that would, if they're pissed at each other, some information that would hurt them, then it'd be like, oh God, we got a patriot out there talking. He's bringing out some information. Really fucks that guy on the left. Good for the guy on the right, but man, the guy steps up and you know, hey man, that same person's putting out information on the right. Shut him down. We control the mechanism. They control the money. And that's what this really comes down to, people, is mammon. Mammon controls this country, every mechanism in it. And so, those of you people who are feeling sorry for Alex Jones, well, you need to get over there and donate and help him out a little bit. And it's at the bottom of the hour. And we're going to take our bottom of the hour break. We'll be back in about 8 minutes. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disastrous situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
Mrs. and Mr. America fret. They huddle around their TV set. They worry and they sweat. They're thinking I'm the enemy, the one they need to get. Because their mind controllers tell them I'm a major threat. The talking heads, the daily press. They
They cultivate stupidity and harvest ignorance. They point a crooked finger and they're all unanimous by calling me extremist because I'm down on Zionists. So now I want to sing a new song. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rouser rebel song and sympathize with the skinnies who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. Now what's so bad about being extreme? If I'm extremely innocent, if I'm extremely keen, if I'm extremely paranoid, it's because of what I've seen. It's written in between the lines of every magazine. The FBI, the CIA are working for the KGB and getting in my way. Because they don't like my politics, they dog me every day. I'm getting tired of telling them the problem is oy vey. The enemy is communism. I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rouser rebel song and sympathize with the skinheads who realize it was the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist.
I just want to get the job done.
But all he gets is phony news. His state of mind is captured by the mouth's opposing views. His only guarantee is that he's sure to be abused. Some may win, but most will lose. Their lives are only figments of the thoughts they cannot choose. And I doubt you'll ever see me on the 6 o'clock news, exposing lying, thieving, cheating communists. Who made me sing you this song? I want to be an extremist. I want to join a militia and wear camouflage. I want to be an extremist and run around and sing a rabble-rouser rebel song and sympathize with the skinheads who realize it was the Jews who did the Germans wrong. I want to be an extremist. I want to get the job done. I want to be an extremist and I just want to have fun. Cha-cha-cha.
You're listening to The Word from the Trenches, from the TrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively at Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated. I'm your host, Henry Shively. It is 1237 Pacific Time. That, of course, was Carl Klein. I want to be an extremist. And, you know, to what we're talking about, there's been a lot of artists, you know, music artists that have, you know, tried to put the message out, just get the message out to people that, hey, you know what, things are going wrong in this country. And they have been censored. They have lost their labels. They've been, I mean, this is the gambit. This is how they control the information. And the internet was out of control. But by God, I'm telling you right now, they're getting it back in control. I mean, it's a complicated process, but they have nothing but an endless supply of our resources to finance it all. And I was talking about, you know, the server, I forgot to finish that, you know, had sent, you know, $200 to open up the channels and what might have. So we said, okay. And so we need to look at your site and see what needs to be done. Okay. And that was about a month and a half ago, and this is what we got back. Because this is being run by straight out of Tel Aviv. This is the international corporate mafia, and you don't F with the mafia. They don't want to be put in the situation that we are for trying to get the truth out there. They're trying to make some goddamn money. Anyways, and you know they did the same thing to the Russian people. You know, the poets. You know, poets were put up against the wall for writing poetry over there in Russia because they'd put something in there that wasn't favorable to the government. We're so goddamn close, I can touch it. I can see it.
Well, Henry, they were labeled subversives.
Subversives, and boy, ain't that what we are. Extremists, like Carl Kling. U.S. top court leaves intact ruling against Central American asylum seekers. This is from Reuters. The U.S. Supreme Court sidestepped a turbulent debate over illegal immigration on Monday. Sidestepped. The U.S. Supreme Court sidestepped a turbulent debate over illegal immigration on Monday, turning away an appeal by a group of asylum-seeking Central American women and their children who aim to clarify the constitutional rights of people who the government has prioritized for deportation. Let's say that again to clarify the constitutional rights of people the government has prioritized for deportation. Surely they have the constitutional rights, because we sure as hell don't. Those constitutional rights, better known as the Bill of Rights, that don't have a goddamn thing to do with the Constitution, except to tell the government that they don't rule the people. They rule a couple of small little areas in international affairs and coinage. The families, 28 women and 33 children, ages 2 to 17, oh, 17, I bet that 17-year-olds are, they got teardrop tattoos, and they're MS-13 gang members from El Salvador, I bet they are, Honduras and Guatemala, oh, absolutely, had hoped the justices would overturn a lower court ruling preventing them from having their expedited removal orders reviewed by a federal judge. The Philadelphia-based court said the status of the families, all apprehended in Texas and later held in Pennsylvania, was akin to non-citizens who are denied entry at the border, and they were not entitled to a court hearing to challenge that decision. Plus, I mean, that's a violation of human rights. I will not stand for it. Thinking that, I mean, hey, if I get my foot over the line, you're stuck with me. You can't get rid of me. I'll get a communist federal judge. Let me stay and F you, Americans. Give me what you got. Immigration has become an even hotter topic than usual in the United States since President died. Bullshit. All this stuff in Korea and Syria. And, you know, all the, they're sending some more boats over there. And it's getting tense. Don't look at the border. Don't look at the fact that not a goddamn one has been deported. Don't look at the fact that you already have your colonization population here. Really, all you got to do is take the old population over to the ditch and put a bullet through their head, and everything will be all right for the filthy rich like Donald Trump, the international elite like Donald Trump. His administration has ordered construction of a border wall with Mexico intended to, what for? They're already here. You have your recolonization just to keep them here? Or to keep us from escaping while you're exterminating us? What's that wall for, Trumpy? All it would have ever took people in this country. I mean, this is all, I mean, I'm gonna make it real simple for the simple minded out there. All it would have took is enforcement of law. And it would this, I mean, you didn't have to make no laws. The bottom line is you come to the United States without a visa, uninvited. You cross that border, and even, you know, the government, you can't hand out visas. You have to have an invite from somebody in the United States before you can even get a visa. How about that? But, that aside, if you would have just enforced the laws, you know, when Reagan stood up there and goes, well, I'm letting 3 million in, which is really 10 million. Shh, don't tell nobody. This is it. We're securing that. I mean, hold it. I mean it. I'm not like the other 23 before me. I mean, this is it. We're securing that border. And if you hire those illegals, we're going to give you a fine. No, it should be if you hire an illegal, 5 years in prison. Minimum. They like minimums for every goddamn thing in our world. When they're putting their statutes on us that don't apply to us, when they're inflicting their tyranny on us, well, there's a minimum price you're going to pay. 5 years in prison for hiring one. And if you hire two, 10 years in prison. Three? Yep, you got it. Now 30 years in prison. They wouldn't be coming here, people. And you work at the welfare office, we find out that there's some illegal that is, you mean you didn't check them like you checked these American nationals? You didn't check to make sure they were Americans? You let them use a stolen Social Security? You didn't check the Social Security number? And you gave them Welfare benefits? Housing? You did? Well, I'm sorry, that's a 10-year beef. Federal beef. You're going to the clink for 10 fucking years and it ain't at no country club down in Petaluma. You're going up here in the desert in Oregon. Out there at, what the hell is that? Man, they got a nasty one out there. That's where you're going to do your time. And if you don't like that, we'll put you behind the walls in the Oregon State Prison. Boy, you'll find out what life's really all about. And there would be none here. There'd be no reason for them to come, people. Think about it. You get caught harboring one of them. Like a church. You and them dirty churches down on the border. You get caught harboring one of them. 10 years in prison. For each one you harbor. Do you really think, John, do you think that they would be pouring in here like that? Wall or no wall?
I'm going to guess that probably not.
I don't think they would.
And not only that, but now we'll throw in some of that asset forfeiture. If you get caught using your vehicle to transport these foreign invaders into our country, you lose your vehicle.
There you go. And as for the little illegals sneaking across for a better life, it's our, you heard it. I mean, I seen something the other day where they're filing a lawsuit because actually most of Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California belongs to the Mexicans. They filed a lawsuit to get it back, John, because it wasn't taken through war. It was, I mean, I don't know what their legal argument or illegal, what we've talked about.
There is no legal argument. The communists are using the communist court system to take back their communist property.
And there you go. At any rate. So this idea that you need some kind of wall to protect you, and that was what I was getting at. Okay, I just came up here for a better life to big ladies, into big apples. You get caught, you son of a bitch. It ain't just going to be kick your ass across the border. You know what? To all of those honest farmers who didn't hire your foreign ass and in violation of the law, you're going to pick their fruit this year. For nothing. And then we're kicking your ass across the border. Now, how many would come, John? None. And all it would take
low number, Henry.
Oh, buddy. Oh, yeah. Would it be worth it? I mean, even if you're one of these rich corporate farming son of a bitches, I mean, there ain't going to be no lawyer getting you a fine, in lieu of you're going to do jail time.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Please do.
Now, let's just say in a perfect world that we were actually able to get rid of all these people. Who's going to replace them to their jobs? I mean, Americans that I've seen nowadays, they're so sedated. They're not going to go out and work in the fields. I mean, what are we going to do? Do we have to conquer North Korea and ship some more North Koreans in or something? I don't know.
It's like this, Flea. From the incept of this country, there's been a big rush to open the country up and open the resources up because for some reason we're in a great big hurry to expend all of our resources as fast as we can, even if we have to ship them out of the country. How about the people that are here just to decide what do we want to have from our, we're rich. We're filthy rich. I mean, as far as it goes, you could have people out there, picking, or harvesting potatoes for $60 an hour if they cared to work, because that's how rich this country is. And if you wanted to go buy a meal of course it shouldn't be these ridiculous numbers, but this is the only way to explain it, staying within the realms of the unreality we live in. And if you had to pay $160 for a meal to accommodate picking those potatoes and butchering that beef to make it worth somebody to pay, well, you'd have it. We're rich. The bottom line is you got everybody out of here. You got a small group of people with a whole lot of resource. And you get back what they stole from us. Hell, we could all take a 100-year vacation and just kick back. But, of course, I mean, I'm not the kind of person that could just sit. I like to do something, and I believe that the majority of Americans, I mean, I know what they show us on the stupid box and what is forced into our face. I mean, I know you go to the store and there's some faggot freak son of a bitch with purple hair and his pants hanging around his legs waiting on you, and you think that's the world. It really ain't.
Don't forget the tattoos.
I don't really get down on tattoos because I know Spike's got them and I don't want him to be offended. It ain't really the, tattooing.
But Spike isn't gay.
No, he isn't. That helps a lot. But no, what I'm saying here is, if you think about it like this, if from the time that of the Revolutionary War, when the people came and won this country, it belonged to us, people. It belonged to us. Every inch of it belonged to us. Only you had a handful who were going to exploit it for themselves and to fuck everybody else. You can be another slave for us, or we'll bring in outside. Just you're going to be a slave class, okay? But what if it had been like it was supposed to be? The 360-acre farm, it would have morphed. I mean, we would have went into industrial age and everything on a natural course. Without, I mean, trying, like I said, how much of our resource have been hauled out of this country for production? For us? How is that anything for us, for what we have? We had a plenty here to take care of our progeny for, shit, 1,000 years? If we managed it right, just us. You know, they talk about the fact that, you know, during the 70s, they told us, no, you don't want to have children. We're overpopulating Earth. You Americans don't. And Americans being the dumb fucks they are, not realizing, hey, man, this is your own population, who your own tribe that's got to fight for your own tribe. They did. And mm-hmm. Now there's a go ahead, sorry.
This country and this world is built on slavery. How do we break this cycle?
You have to, you take the ones out at the top. You have to educate people on just one little simple thing, natural rights. Your natural right to breathe the air, to drink the water, to get the food. I mean, it's this whole idea of ownership and owning property. And you see, we were on the right track. As that's as one of the main things they had to remove. When they remove your Bill of Rights, in 1933 when they took the gold, that is when your Bill of Rights officially was usurped. Because if you can't own gold, gold is the standard for property. And all of those rights that you see in that Bill of Rights are about property. They are about, finally, your right to yourself is your own property. And we have come to the point to where they're there with for that. They're saying, you don't even belong to yourself. We can vaccinate you like a goddamn cow out in the field. You have no personal right to even your own body. But the thing is, as long as people continue to... What it got us, man, I'm telling you, people, is after the world wars, you know, when they tore you down to famine. I mean, it was bad in this country. People don't realize it, but during the Great Depression, people actually ate people in this. There was cannibalism went on in this country. And then, you know, you're in the richest country. You have to sit back and say, you're sitting on the richest piece of real estate to ever exist. You have unlimited resources of every type. You've actually reached the point to where you're manufacturing by the World War One. You're manufacturing and then, you know, heading up into World War Two. I mean, you're an industrial, you have industrial might. How is it possible that having all these resources and having it manufactured that people ended up going hungry? Well, that's because, man, of all of that huge amount of wealth that was coming out, somebody was taking it all and some other people weren't getting any. And it was the people who were doing the work who weren't getting any. It was the Jew, middleman. I mean, do you think about it? The 360-acre farm, the original concept. Now, I have a 360-acre farm. I'm completely self-sufficient. Nobody can govern me. I govern myself. I need no one. I can take care of myself. And then you know, you had the guy who would have he might have a grain mill. And so, you know, when you harvested your grain, his gig was he's going to get a big pile of grain for grinding all the mill. And then him, you know, in the free enterprise, he's going to trade some of his grain for potatoes or whatever things he needs. And then, of course, you know, you're going to have a place to store the grain, a place to live. So another fella, he could have him a sawmill. But would you...
You mean people actually work together?
Oh, I hate to say it, but yes. But what happened here... When they took over with the central bank, you know, this international central bank for the Americas in total violation of the contract, they put in the Jew middleman who produces nothing, but he knows a guy. They know another guy. You know, Mark, this has been one thing back and forth. You know, he talks about what a redneck is and he talks about it being the Protestant from working out in the sun. Well, that ain't how I was raised to know a redneck. My dad, I mean, he worked his ass off all his life. In the sun, in the shade, in the ice, in the cold. But he wasn't a redneck. He told me that a redneck was. It was these goddamn Masons, these good old boys. When they put their arm around each other's neck, buddy, buddy this and buddy, buddy that. And see what they do when they did. Like, let's go back to the grain. So the grain, we decided we're not going to do our things like we did in the, you know, in the beginning. You know, the guy at the grain mill, he's going to take his grain and he's going to trade for other stuff. You know, free enterprise. We're going to have capitalism. Well, before you can have capitalism, capital has to rule. So throw in the central bank. Now the guy who wants to, you know, run the grain mill, he's gotta have a line of credit so that he can, you know, he can pay to ship his goods out to store his goods because he just can't. I don't know what happened. There was a breakdown there. It was all working prior to the Jews showing up. And then the Jews started buying up the surrounding key areas. What they've always done, people, is put themselves in key positions. This is a part of the Masonic doctrine. They have put people in key positions, just like what we're talking about with this internet. They don't have to control the whole son of a bitch. They just have to control through the revenue certain key choke points. Just like even dumbass Alex is talking about here. This is just a small, what we're talking about here, that Google, you know, the search thing, that's just one facet of it. But I guess if you can control that, you can control the net, right? And how do you control? What if somebody stepped up to, well, goddamn, well, they let it get big enough. So now somebody's going to step up to compete with Google. Well, they're going to have, well, financing. Because you don't start nothing out without financing. Not something that's going to be competing with Google, that's going to come on the world stage in a clap of a hand. That's going to take some serious fucking financing, just like Google did.
You're not going to finance a data farm working 9 to 5.
There you go. So now, who financed Google, John? John? Well, okay. John ain't going to answer me. I'll tell you who financed Google, the CIA. Who owns the CIA? Well, communists, the international communists own the CIA. Who owns what is the international communist? Oh, that's Zionism. It is these Jew, son of a bitches, people. And I mean, that's the number one thing that really got us on from the trenches, to have them spin the resources. I'm telling you, the resources that they've had to spend to do what they've done to the site. I mean, I don't even think I could calculate it. I can't imagine what it would have cost. But that goes to show you how afraid they are of the goddamn truth. And you tell it about the Jews and the Masons, man, I'm telling you right there, they've got their networks across this goddamn country. This, as the country was being built, as soon as that post office went in, the next building was a Masonic lodge. And then the Masons cut up all the property that belonged to everybody, but somehow it became theirs. Maybe they were oil men and they wanted the oil, they wanted to own all the oil under the land. Well, of course it should belong to Bob over there. Hell, he's one of us. So Bob and Ted and Jim and Bill end up with all the goddamn oil in the whole fucking country. Four guys. How in the hell did that happen, people? Was that equitable? Was that on the up and up? It's just like somebody like Bill Gates, that fucking little worm. He's got billions of dollars. Nobody should have that much wealth. What would you do with it except manipulate and fuck people over? It's all it's any good for. You could buy your own country if you want. But I already got a country. That's kind of boring. I got a country. You could buy ships. I got ships. I got everything. Oh, man, the only thing that really excites me is, you know, having a 11-year-old boy that belonged to me that I could do anything I want to with.
They've got so much money, they don't have anything to do except, you know.
Exactly.
What excites them is killing people and being able to get away with it.
Well, just, you know, imagine, you know, you and I grew up in the world, real world, Flea. I mean, I have no doubt you fisted with some people in your day. And you know...
Oh, I got my teeth knocked out long time ago.
But what I'm saying here is, you know what I'm saying here? You think about, you've met pussies in your life, too. And you think about that pussy over there. If he could, he's sitting there... He's a pussy. He can't help it. He was born a pussy, and his parents raised him a pussy, and so he's a pussy today. And so this pussy, when he got everything, what would be the ultimate? Is to be able to, that guy whose ass he couldn't kick, to be able to go over there and just, man, you get on your knees and lick my feet, my pussy feet.
I'll tell you a story. I went to my 20-year class reunion probably about, 10 years ago or something, and the guy that was the biggest weenie ended up being like, the county sheriff or like the captain or something, you know, and we're outside like smoking weed. It's like, oh, we got to kill this man. Like, what's his face over there? We went to school if he's the sheriff or some shit.
Yes. And this is what I'm talking about. The calls being elevated to the top. That's why our country's weak. That's why our people seem weak. because it is the weakest of us that have been. I mean, when they go out, you go see them on TV. I mean, they show them in these goddamn restaurants. So, but, you know, talking about the elections still today. And you look at these assholes. I wouldn't hire the son of a bitch to dig a ditch. Oh, I got a contract company. Really? How do you rate, buddy? Pussy? Anyways, guys, we're going to roll across. We'll be right back.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Alrighty, you're listening to the second hour of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. On this Muck and Fun Day, the 17th day of April, 2017, I'm your host, Henry Shively. It's 1 o'clock Pacific time. That means it's time for the Tactical Report with JD, U.S. Marine, Fighting Tyranny. John, you have the floor.
Okay, thank you very much, Henry. Let's get moving with our station identification. You are listening to The Tactical Report with me, JD, U.S. Marine. I'm trying to read what I wrote here. I can read my own handwriting. And we are broadcast on PBFTT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5, Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson, or as some people know it, Oregon. Simulcast on IndianaFreedomTalkRadio.com. The Grow Your Own Channel, 107.5 FM, Greenville, South Carolina. Jalapenos Channel, 87.9 FM, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And numerous other microbroadcasts and webcasts across our great nation and around the world. If you'd like to call live, call online. Our number is 641-715-3610. And a very nice... Ebola, anthrax, measles, avian flu, Middle Eastern respiratory syndrome, severe acute respiratory syndrome, bubonic plague, polio, Lyme disease, Legionnaire's disease, chickenpox, West Nile fever, yellow fever, and of course, the latest and greatest Zionist Jew communist media darling, a Zika free lady will come on the line and ask you what conference room you want. And that number is 220029. And the pound sign. And don't forget, at the end of the tactical report, I do open the floor for any questions or comments, but you do need to hit *6 to manually unmute. All right, now remember, I mention all these diseases because, especially if you've been a regular here on our website, you know that we've talked about each and every one of these con jobs as they came up all within the last year and a half, you know, some of them going on almost 2 years now. And notice what happened, how they all just went away, even though some of them were supposed to be as bad as, well, the Black Death that wiped out, what, a quarter? Some estimates put it as high as a third of the population of all of Europe. Remember that little tiny pesky virus kind of wiped out a significant portion of the world population? Remember every one of these diseases was being purported, being reported as being maybe as bad as that? It was going from person to person, house to house, town to town, country to country, and, my God, continent to continent. Remember? And you were supposed to stand there shaking, quiver, fall on the floor, crawl under the bed, pull into the fetal position, and you were supposed to crap your drawers. Remember that? And notice how it just all went away. Especially when the Trump effect got rolling. Remember when the presidential campaign election got going? And then, of course, they brought out the presumptive presidential candidate, Donald Trump. Remember that? All that nonsense? And notice how the disease, the reporting on the diseases, especially the Zika, was kind of falling to the wayside, even as that was coming on. Don't worry, people. I absolutely promise you. The scumbags over in the Zionist Jew think tanks, you know, like the Rockefeller Foundation, the Ford Foundation, and so forth. They're over there right now dreaming up the next, best, bigger, badder, scarier epidemic or pandemic that they're going to be reporting on in the press. Now, they're probably, you know, kicking around the idea of what they're going to call it, because for most of us, Zika was a new one. You know, most of us have heard of the Ebola, the anthrax, the measles, avian flu, MARS, SARS, bubonic plague, and all that. We heard of most of that, but Zika for most of us was a brand new one, even though it's actually been around since 1947, or at least was declared as having been discovered, you know, by the Rockefeller Foundation. The Rockefeller Medical Institute over there in Africa discovered it back in 1947 and patented it. Remember that? Yes, people. Don't worry. They're working on a new, bigger, badder, scarier one. And, you know, when the Trump effect runs out of steam here, you can be damn sure they're going to get the – they're going to pull the little arm sticking out of the ground there, pull it back, and they're going to rotate the carousel propaganda, or the – what is it? The merry-go-round. Propaganda merry-go-round. That's it. And they're going to bring a new propaganda gambit to the forefront for people to be afraid of for a little while anyway. So it's coming. Don't worry. In the meantime, let's see what we got here. Let's get going with our FTTPSA from the Trenches Public Service Announcements. And, of course, we always start off with, well, remember what Henry was talking about at the top of the hour? Facts. Facts is contrary to propaganda. What's propaganda? Well, that's a nice euphemism to say for saying lie to your face. Because that's what propaganda is. Because if they're not lying to your face, well, that would mean they were telling you the truth. And if it's the truth, well, then it's not propaganda. See how that goes around like that merry-go-round? So propaganda is nothing more than lying to your face. Remember what I told you. What does the milkman deliver to you? Well, he delivers milk. What does the mailman deliver to you? Well, he delivers mail. What does mainstream media deliver to you? That's right, lies. In fact, that's what they're paid to do. In fact, if any of these mainstream media hosts dares, even by accident, to tell the truth, notice how quickly they go away, get fired, or they have a scandal. And so they have to be let go. They cut their contract. That's happened on one or two occasions, actually. Anyway, we start off by saying a simple little fact, that there is no country of Israel. It is an international terrorist organization, but as a country, there is no such country as Israel. It's called Palestine. In fact, to be technically correct, it's Palestine under Zionist Jew occupation. Now remember, when the Nazis invaded all these countries during World War II as they were marching across Europe, you know, especially like when they took France, they didn't rename France Germany. They didn't call France anything else. What did they call France? Oh, it was occupied France. When they went to Austria, they didn't rename Austria Germany or Germany North. What did they call it? Oh, it was occupied Austria. And same thing with all the other countries they went into. Once they got their foothold in there, they didn't rename the country. They just called it occupied, filling country's name in the blank there. Well, it's the same thing right now with Israel and Palestine. There is no country called Israel. It is Palestine, but to be technically correct, it is occupied Palestine. In fact, they'll even say that themselves. So where's the argument here? Oh, that's right, there is none. Let's get going here. Let's get into our Constitution and Bill of Rights segments. Of course, the Constitution, you know, Henry talks about it all the time, and he talks about the defects in it. And I always take the position, look, you can't write. There is no such thing as a perfect document that will describe your government. Because no matter what words you use, people who are insistent about corruption and sit in powers or positions of power within the government will always find a way to bring that corruption with them. The document doesn't stop the people. I don't care how perfectly worded it is. In fact, it's materially impossible to word a perfect document because words are subject to interpretation, sentences are subject to interpretation, paragraphs are subject to interpretation, intent. can sometimes be labeled as subject to interpretation, even if we know what the actual intent was at the outset. And what does that mean? Well, that's their back door to bring the corruption in. That's all that is. When they tell you, oh, it's got to be interpreted properly, well, that's the back door to the corruption, to bring in the socialism, to bring in the communism. Well, they did that with the Constitution. People who were corrupt of spirit, mind, and body got into positions of power and then used that position of power to consolidate and then expand on that corruption. That is how we got into this mess. Because the people in this country, when they should have stood up to them, and we're not talking about this generation, we're on cleanup. I'm talking about two generations ago, three generations ago, five generations ago, when the corruption was obviously being poured into what we call this government. They did nothing. Well, there was a few that stood up, to be sure. But the vast bulk of Americans did nothing. Now, let's take a famous case here. Charles Lindbergh. And I'm not talking about Charles Lindbergh that flew across the Atlantic in a solo flight. That was his son. There was Charles Lindbergh Sr. And he was a congressman. And guess what he did? He made the unforgivable mistake of exposing what the Federal Reserve was actually all about. And what was his reward for that? Well, the first thing is the FBI came in and literally destroyed his house, took all his materials that was exposing the Federal Reserve, who created it, why they created it, and why it was illegal, and they put it in a big pile and burned it right there in his own yard. Excuse me. Okay, sorry about that. I had to cough. Still getting over this cold, this wicked cold. And so Charles Lindbergh, he was rewarded with that. And then the son was also rewarded by having his child kidnapped. And this was an extension of the fact that his father had dared to stand up to these international communists, which had already infiltrated, subverted, and overthrown our government from within. And that's going back there in the 20s and 30s. So to think that it's a fault of the modern generation, it's not. However, it's our fault if we let it continue. We are aware of what it is, and we have information abilities at our fingertips that has never existed in all of human history. This capability to quickly gather, check, cross-check, or communicate information has never existed in all of human history up until about the early 1990s. And that's when the internet really came into its own. So it's up to us to get the corruption out of the Constitution. The Constitution was not written with the corruption into it. It's got weaknesses, it's got loopholes, but that's not the failure of the Constitution. The failure was of the people to say, by the way, that's called corruption, and we're going to hold you accountable. That's called socialism. We're going to hold you for sedition. That's called communism. We're going to hold you for treason. That was up to us, because no document, and I don't care how perfectly well it's written, no document has ever been or ever will be self-enforcing. There's no such thing. It's up to us, the people. We are the custodians of the Constitution, and more importantly, the Bill of Rights. Going on. Let's get into a couple of interesting articles. Now, Henry had talked about the truth and what Alex Zionist Jones, you know, the tip of the shaft. And, you know, I had read an article last week from, well, Joseph Goebbels himself, the Ministry of Enlightenment. Oh, I love that phrase, the Ministry of Enlightenment. That's what they call it. You know, that's kind of the precursor to what we are now going to be calling the fact-checking sites. The Ministry of Enlightenment, it's going to be the enlightenment of current facts. Well, Joseph Goebbels, of course, became a master of propaganda, a master of lying, distorting, twisting information to serve the purpose of the state. But there were times when Joseph Goebbels was absolutely truthful. He understood exactly the nature of what he was doing, and he knew how to consolidate that sentiment down into just a few sentences sometimes. And talking about truth, here's one of Joseph Goebbels' sentiments on that. If you tell a lie big enough and keep repeating it, people will eventually come to believe it. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. It thus becomes vitally important for the state to use all its powers to repress dissent. And dissent is getting the truth out, people. For the truth is the mortal enemy of the lie, of the propaganda. And thus, by extension, the truth is the greatest enemy of the state. In other words, when the state is nothing more than corruption, the greatest enemy to that corruption always has been and always will be the truth. Now, I added a little bit in there, and you certainly should have been able to recognize when I was throwing in a little bit of clarification in there about what Joseph Goebbels just said. But I love this, and he's absolutely right. The lie can be maintained only for such time as the state can shield the people from the political, economic, and or military consequences of the lie. You see, this is key to the whole lie. As long as you're living comfortably, as Henry would say, as long as you're living in your comfort zone, well, then you're willing to accept those lies, aren't you? Notice during World War II, did we have any real attacks here on mainland America? Now, if I was the Nazi regime, and of course, I was actually looking for world domination or to take America out as a potential enemy to my efforts to conquer the world, or at least conquer the entire European continent, I certainly would have waged some aspects of full-scale war attacks on mainland America just to cause us to use resources and materials into defending mainland America, which normally might have been exported to Europe. But you didn't see that. Now, I know some people are going to say, oh, but the U-boats were off our east coast here, and they did sink some shipping. Yes, they did. And there were some German activities, the spies, here in America. But did a German bomber, a German aircraft, did a German anything drop so much as a single bomb anywhere in continental United States? Not a one. Did they fire so much as one round, as far as we know, in the continental United States? No, they didn't. This was part of shielding, because remember, World War II was orchestrated. It was complete theater, people. Hitler was one of theirs. He was one of their hand puppets, just like Saddam Hussein was, just like Noriega was, just like Gaddafi was. He was one of their hand puppets. But to shield the people from the lie of what was really the driver behind World War II, it's best to let the people live in a certain degree of comfort. Notice how we didn't have blackouts here across the cities, even though we knew we had German U-boats attacking some shipping right here off our west coast. In fact, what the German submarines would do is they would use the city lights to backlight the ships, the merchant ships that were getting ready to bring materials over to Britain. Well, that alone should have been reason enough to require blackout conditions on the coastal cities, just like they required over in Pearl Harbor after the Pearl Harbor attack. They had massive blackout requirements in Pearl Harbor across the whole island, not just the coastal areas. But you didn't see that in the continental United States. You know why? Because over there in Hawaii, well, those weren't really Americans. There was a lot of Japanese there and a lot of Hawaiians. So they really didn't care if they inconvenienced them a little bit. What they were worried about was where the bulk of the American population lived, and, well, that was here, in the continental United States, or CONUS. And that's an example of shielding us from the lie. Continuing on, the world economy is collapsing right now, but how are they shielding us? Because they need not United States still at the moment, especially our military, so they're shielding us from the lies. How are they shielding us from the fact that we don't have a legitimate financial or monetary system? What we have are Federal Reserve notes, which are nothing more than certificates of enslavement. How are they shielding us from that truth? Well, they're giving it to you. They give it to you in the form of unemployment and benefits, welfare, Food Fair, WIC, SNAP, and all these other social programs. When there is no money, this country is not just bankrupt. We're bankrupt 100 times over. But they don't want you to realize that yet because America, continental United States, one of the greatest countries to ever exist in all of human history and certainly one of the most technologically advanced, well, we're their main cutting tool. We are the surgeon's scalpel to go around and cut the globe up for the Zionist Jews. So they still need us. So they're still going to shield us from some of the more obvious truths. And what will be the repercussions of those truths when they get back here? Like hyperinflation. Hyperinflation is an inevitability. You can't have a country with $20 trillion in debt and creating more debt at an ever-increasing rate. You can't have a country that has 50 plus million people on welfare. You can't have a country with over 100 million unemployed. You can't have a country with the top five banks owing $500 trillion in derivatives, $1.5 quadrillion in global derivatives. Continue on. It's a mathematical impossibility. And the only reason they can continue it right now to keep shielding us from the truth is because we're existing on fraud. Complete, utter fraud. To shield us from what's going on because, well, the American people are still armed. And that's not fraud. That's lethal to these people. And they understand that. So they're going to continue to perpetrate this lie that pretty much everything's okay. Auto industry's fine. People are going to college. Supermarkets are full of food. Go watch a movie. Go to Broadway. It's all fine. Don't worry about what the government's doing. We've got people up there looking out for your interests, like Trump, because he's going to make America great again. You see, that's the lie, people. And they can shield you from the lies, the real lies, the scale of the problem, because you have food, electricity, and you have gasoline in the tank of your car. And as soon as one of those three disappears, well, people start getting irritated. When two of the three disappear, then you have an uprising. And that's how they're shielding themselves, or shielding us from the truth, is with the lie that everything's okay, by continuing this fraudulent paradigm called the Federal Reserve Note System. In reality, it shouldn't exist at all. It should have blew itself up right there, certainly by August 16th of 1971, because on August 15th of 1971, Nixon declared the U.S. dollar, more correctly the Federal Reserve Note, was dead. He took us off the gold-backed standard. At that point, it should have gone completely worthless. Absolutely worthless. It should have hyperinflated within a matter of months. But it didn't. And don't say, oh, it's because it became the oil dollar. No, that's not the reason. That just gave it the air of legitimacy. The reason is the whole system was a sham to begin with. That's why it didn't collapse. Because they just went from one form of sham to another form of sham. All right, let's get going here. Let me see if I had one more here. Okay, let's get moving. All right, let's look at a couple of interesting articles and going over to, getting back to this notion of, well, global warfare. Because, man, those Zionist Jews, we are the scalpel. Now, Alex Zionist Jones, he's the tip of the shaft. But you know what? America, our technology, our innovativeness, our ingenuity, and certainly our military, well, we're the scalpel, people. We are the scalpel being used to cut the globe up for Zionist Jew communist control. Over in government slaves. U.S. sending troops to Somalia for the first time in 24 years. Oh, then we have a little event over there in Somalia, in fact, which they turned into a movie called Black Hawk Down, where we kind of got our ass kicked. Got a lot of our American people killed. A lot of our sons came home in a box, or more appropriately, in a garbage bag. Now, remember, what was interesting is we created Somalia, well, not us, but the Zionist Jews and the finance system, because Somalia It's got money. These people can support themselves. But the rate of extraction of their wealth was so fantastic that they simply couldn't even get to feed themselves anymore. And then, of course, the Institute, they put in power these warlords, which, of course, is nothing more than their local reign of terror ministers. That's all they were. And then, of course, in the movie Black Hawk Down, they do convey the simple truth that there were certain conditions under which they would conduct these operations to try and capture some of these warlords or the warlords' associates and so forth. There were certain conditions under which they would normally do it that were ignored for this particular operation, which became the base of the movie, Black Hawk Down. And, of course, the other one was Washington, D.C. was orchestrating what was going on during that operation real time, even though it was pretty much on the other side of the planet. And one of the other anomalies for what led to what we call the Black Hawk Down incident. Normally, they would always go in with big air support, especially the AC-130 Spectre, which is nothing more than a flying gun platform. I mean, it's just an AC-130. It's a Boeing 130, if I remember right. It's made by Boeing, the C-130. And it's just dripping, and I do mean dripping, with armaments, artillery, high rates of fire, machine guns, minis, and so forth. I mean, it's just a flying weapon station. It makes the Stratus Fortress look like a spitball machine. Normally, they would go in with that kind of air coverage, but not on that day. Washington inexplicably denied them. And so there, right there, was one of their major assets gone right off the bat. One of their major assets needed during the daylight raid, because then the skinnies, as they call them, would come up there with those RPGs and take out that multi-million-dollar aircraft with a, I don't know, it's probably a $300 round. And that's exactly what happened. Well, anyway, it looks like we're going back in Somalia, so I guess it's time. The Zionist Jews have declared, by the way, looks like Somalia's recovered a little bit. They got a little bit of wealth over there, so it's time for you, America, our scalpel, to go in there and carve it up again. Let's go on. And that's not the only place we're making sure that World War III can happen. Over in True News, tensions rise. China and Russia chase down U.S. warship. Well, that don't sound friendly. China and Russia have launched military intelligence vessels to chase down the U.S. warship Donald Trump dispatched to the North Korean peninsula, the Japanese government has reportedly revealed. Both China and Russia both seem to be aiming to deter the U.S. military in the tension-rising region. The aircraft carrier strike group, composed of the Carl Vinson, at its core, with guided missile destroyers and other vessels, is understood to be around the East China Sea and heading north towards the waters near the Korean Peninsula. The show of military strength by the U.S. angered China, while the Tomahawk airstrike in Syria infuriated Vladimir Putin. Tokyo and Beijing officials have been locked in a bitter territorial dispute over the uninhabited islets close to Taiwan. China has sought to enlist Russia's help to cool tensions over North Korea amid fears among Beijing's leaders that hostilities between the United States and Pyongyang are imminent. Now, let's be clear here, people. I saw another article talking about how we now have the United States, or the Zionist Jews is using the U.S. military, to send three carrier task force groups up to the North Korean region. Where did we see that before? Oh, that's right. Remember back there in 2012, 2013 with the Syrian love missile crisis? Obama sent, well, by no strange coincidence, three carrier task force groups as they were getting ready to spin up World War III there. Well, looks like they're going to go for that gambit once again. Now, remember, whenever you talk about an aircraft carrier, and they always make a point of emphasizing, well, the aircraft carrier, in this case, the Carl Vinson, Vincent, because there's a Vincent, and that's a different naval vessel altogether. The Vincent, if I remember right, it's a guided missile destroyer. There's the Carl Vincent, that is a aircraft carrier, and there's the Vincent, which is a guided missile destroyer. So you got the aircraft carrier, the Carl Vincent, and they always talk about how there's other naval vessels escorting it. Well, this is always the truth, people, because they never, ever, under any conditions, send an aircraft carrier as a standalone. They always have what's called 360 degrees of offensive and defensive capabilities. Remember, when an aircraft carrier is out there, it's projecting power, but it's also a huge target. So what do aircraft carriers have? Well, first off, they have close-in, medium-range, and long-range hemispherical defensive and offensive capabilities. That is, think of like a huge salad bowl, and you put it over the aircraft carrier, right down to the water, and that's 1 degree, one perimeter of air defense. And then you put a bigger salad bowl over that, and that's a different weapon system that gives them that greater range. Then you put a bigger salad bowl over that, and that's a different weapon system that gives them an even greater range. So you got these various weapon systems with various ranges that they can use for offensive or defensive capabilities. But that's above water. Don't forget, this is an aircraft carrier. It's in the water, and so it's susceptible to anything below the water surface, too. So they have ships that go along with them that are scanning the water, surface ships, but they also have, usually, a submarine task force group with them, usually two submarines. Usually there's one offensive, something like an Ohio class, and usually there'll be something along the lines of what we would call a hunter-killer, that is a submarine that hunts out other submarines. So that the aircraft carrier also has defensive capabilities below the waterline. So that's what an aircraft carrier always has with it. They never, ever send an aircraft carrier group. So whenever you say an aircraft carrier has been sent to here or there or to the northeastern seaboard area of Korea, it is always with probably at least half a dozen ships and at least one submarine, if not two or three, below the waterline with them. It's never, ever done alone. Going on. Let's see what this says over in Investment Watch. Ramblings of pre-World War III. Not looking good. Plus, U.S. and South Korea agree to activate missile system early, defying Russia and China. Anyway, I'll read a little bit of that when we get back. We have reached the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a bottom of the hour break. You are listening to the Tactical Report, and we'll be right back after these words from our sponsors. Henry, if you please.
Here come the jesters, 1, 2, 3. It's all part of my fantasy. I love the music and I love to see the crowd dancing in my eyes and singing out loud.
Hey, old Dr. Bones here. Are you prepared to deal with medical issues in a disaster situation? What would you do if medical help was not on the way? The Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook is over 400 pages of how-to advice written in plain English. You'll learn to handle all the likely medical issues you'll encounter in times of trouble. And it's not just the conventional medical wisdom. We talk about alternatives like essential oils, medicinal herbs, and other home remedies. Make the Doom and Bloom Survival Medicine Handbook a part of your survival library. And don't forget, Nurse Amy and I have medical kits, suture materials, instructional DVDs, and other items that'll help you keep it together even if things fall apart. Check them out, as well as 200 articles on medical preparedness, survival gardening, and other alternative remedies on our website at www.doomandbloom.net. Never think doom and gloom, think doom and bloom.
Divergent Flavor Labs introduces our all-original e-juice flavor line made from pure 100% kosher USP food-grade ingredients. Whether it's our flavored tobaccos like Calypso or our amazing bakery flavors like Creme de Liumptious, Divergent Flavor Labs' handmade all-original flavor line will never disappoint. Available exclusively through VaporsRebellion.com.
What's this all have to do with me? I spent all my time at sea, a loner. Is there something else I should know? Something hidden down below? The level of your consciousness. conversation. Well, he turned away before the answer. Though I yelled aloud, he refused to hear. It became too clear. Constant doubt. Everything I ask about seemed private. The captain strolled the bridge one night. I stopped him in the evening light to ask him would it be alright to join him. Well, he stood there like some idol, and he listened like some temple, and then he turned away. All along the faithful coast, we moved silent like a ghost. Timeless sea, a tireless host possessed us. The wind came building from the cold northwest, and soon the waves began to crest, crashing across the forward deck, all hands lost. I alone survived the sinking. I alone possess the tools on that ship of fools. Ship of fools. On that ship of fools.
All right, welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Tactical Report. Plus, I am your host, John D. U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny for that. And our site is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, brought to you by PBFDT, Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast, and if you'd like to help keep this programming on the air, please go to our website, FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com, and hit that donate button. Contributions, as always, are greatly appreciated. I am your host for the Tactical Report, John, U.S. Finding Tyranny, and of course, Henry Shively is the main show host, and it is 4:37 Eastern Time, which makes it 1:37 Pacific Time. And during the break, that was good old Bob Seger with Ship of Fools. You bet. All right. Just where we're going to break there, we were looking at this continued posturing, preparation for World War III, especially through the propaganda channels. Because remember what I told you. To create the conditions for World War, you've got to create the illusion that for some reason, suddenly these two countries, well, they have to try and annihilate each other. And then, of course, people should take sides with that. You're with them or with us. Remember, that's how the Zionist Jews, through their propaganda machine, always create the context for global warfare. And so we're also seeing the continued buildup of the movement of military assets. Now, continuing on with a comment over here in Investment Watch blog, the article is, Ramblings of Pre-World War III Not Looking Good, plus U.S. and South Korea Agree to Activate Missile System Early. Now, down here is where he talks about, let's see, breaking, USA to send two additional aircraft carriers to North Korea. The looks like the Ronald Reagan and the Nimitz have also been tasked over there. Now, I have not seen Department of Defense make these announcements yet. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't. I just haven't seen it yet. right now, this is just a comment I'm picking up on, and there's some more to it in the article, but this is a comment I'm picking up on in Investment Watch blog, that we are now really have three carrier task force groups being moved to that region, to that theater of operation. Again, this is the kind of stuff that you would expect to see as they try and ramp up to another global conflict. Going on, one last item here. Now, on Friday, we're going to have a special broadcast. Now, you've heard Katie mention many, many times, cracking the code. And that's by good old Pete Hendrickson. Well, you know what? Katie had mentioned it so many times. I finally got around to printing off the order sheet from the internet, because you can't just order it on the internet directly to them. You got to send them snail mail, and you tell them what you want, and they'll give you the prices, and you just enclose a check. All right, so I printed it out, checked off what I wanted. It did the math for me right there on the screen, so I just printed that out, sent the check, but I also included a letter. And I said, by the way, Mr. Hendrickson, we do have one of our regular listeners. She's a very strong advocate of the work that you do, and that's part of the reason I'm ordering your books, and I ordered a CD too. And I said, I think it would be very interesting if we could have you come up on the radio show and actually explain some of the history of what led you to this, what was the impetus that led you to do the research, that led to the substance of the book itself, and, of course, the kind of success that you had in exercising options that you have to file certain forms, and you get your money back. So I said, I wrote him a very nice letter, and he did, and I sent him my email with it, and he did write me back, and he accepted our invitation. So I spoke with Mr. Hendrickson this afternoon, and he agreed, and as did Henry, that Friday's show, we will have Mr. Hendrickson, providing nothing happens, we either with the show or Mr. Hendrickson, everyone's schedule keeps, assuming that everything goes okay, we will have Mr. Hendrickson come up and, well, talk about the book himself and the whole genre, the whole concept of what led him to writing the book, and, how did he stumble across this and so forth. And, of course, what was the nature of his first attempts at it, and what has been the nature of his success and other people. And we know from Katie that it does work. So, anyway, I just wanted to remind people, it is the top window on our site from the Trenches World Report. And Mr. Hendrickson also sent me some links, giving a little bit of information about him, his background, and so forth, which you might find interesting to read over before you listen to the interview on Friday. So, anyway, unless there's any questions or comments, I'm going to hand this over to my friend and mentor, Henry Shively. Going once, going twice. Okay, on you, Henry.
Excellent report as always, JD. And jumping back into your subject matter, I do have an article that I brought up. U.S. deploys two more aircraft carriers toward Korean Peninsula from Zero Hedge. According to a report by South Korea's primary news outlet, Yonhap, the Pentagon has directed a total of three U.S. aircraft carriers toward the Korean Peninsula, citing a South Korean government source. Yonhap reports that in addition to the CVN-70 Carl Vinson, which is expected to arrive off the South Korean coast on April 25th, the CVN-76 Ronald Reagan, currently in home port in Yokosuka, Japan, and the CVN-68 Nimitz carrier group, currently undergoing final pre-deployment assessment composite training unit exercise off Oregon, will enter the Sea of Japan next week. According to the senior government official, the U.S. and South Korea are discussing joint drills, which will include the three aircraft carriers and other ships. So, I think they're
there. You mentioned the Ronald Reagan being over there, and we have a big naval port over in Japan, and that's Yokosuka. I've actually been there. I was there on deployment. I've been on. It's a huge naval base, American naval base. It's stationed in Japan. That's part of the post-war result of the Japanese losing. Of course, they become one of our vassal states, and so we deploy military bases in the countries that have lost to us, like Germany and so forth. So we have the Ronald Reagan there, and the Ronald Reagan, if it's ready to go to sea, can probably reach the North Korean Peninsula area, I'm guessing within 24 hours, easily. Now, the other one, the Nimitz, which is off there by you, Henry, that, of course, could take them probably several days to get over there.
Yeah, people don't realize how fast those aircraft carriers can move, because they're running 24 hours a day, and it's nuclear-powered. I mean, they can book ass.
Yeah. Well, when I was on a I was on a South Pacific deployment one time, and I was actually on the flagship, the USS New Orleans, and it looks like an aircraft carrier, but it's not. It's actually about half the size. Its flight deck is about 608 feet long, if I remember right, but only helicopters land on it, so it's called the Hilo Lander. So we were passing the USS Enterprise. That task force group was also there, and so they did what's called a pass and review to each other, which was really nice. So the ships line up, and I mean, we were out the ocean. Nobody could see this except the two task force groups, of course. And so the aircraft carrier, the USS Enterprise, which is nuclear powered, as it came abreast to us, it suddenly went from doing about 4 or 5 knots, which is about 6 miles per hour. It went to full power. And when I tell you this thing went from doing 6 knots to about 30 in almost its own length, I am not kidding. I mean, you just about expected to hear wheels burning rubber. It was that impressive and that fast. In fact, I was waiting for this thing to pull a wheelie. I couldn't believe how fast something that big could accelerate from just, you know, doing 5 or 6 miles per hour to full speed and almost its own length. And that ship's about 1,100 feet long. And it disappeared over the horizon. And I'm going to guess in about a minute and a half, it was gone.
Damn. That is moving.
Henry, I wouldn't have believed it if I didn't see it myself.
Oh, man, I would like to see. I mean, I have one time when I was a little kid, we were on a tour boat out to Alcatraz down in San Francisco, and the Enterprise was leaving San Francisco Bay, and man, it, just the enormity of it was just we were on a tour boat thing my dad took us on. And I mean, just looking at it, it was just so unbelievably huge. It was like a goddamn island heading out to sea. It was amazing.
Yeah. And you know, it was great when they were doing the pass and review for us, because I was on the flagship for our group. We were MEU. We were the 13th MEU, Marine Expeditionary Unit. And I don't know what task force they were, but we were passing each other, so they did a pass and review. But they also had the F-14s fly overhead, probably at about 150 feet off the water. And just as they came abreast of us, they broke the sound barrier. And so you would see the whole aircraft just disappear in that funnel-shaped cloud of the air, literally fracturing and all the moisture coming out of it. That's what creates that little cone-shaped cloud as they reach the sound barrier. So that was super cool to see, too.
If that's the only thing we used them for, was to impress ourselves.
If only. Anyways, it looks like we're ramping up World War III here by sending... You've got to understand, sending three carrier task force groups to one specific region, that's pretty serious. But that's also the same thing we did over in Syria back in 2013. Remember that?
Oh, hell yeah. But, I mean, you can look at it like this, too. Maybe it took three carrier groups to divert our attention away from the fact that Trump is doing the 180-degree opposite of everything that he campaigned on, too.
Oh, and you got to remember, what's the first thing he kept saying? You know, if I was president, you'd be in jail. I don't think Hillary's in jail yet, Henry.
I don't even think she's been arrested, John.
Arrested? I checked, Henry, and her library card has not even been suspended yet.
And if I remember right, Donald Trump said we owe her for all the things she's done for us.
Oh, that's right. That's right. She's a great person. Like Madeleine Albright, you know. You know, the choices are tough, but they feel it's worth it, Henry.
Oh, absolutely. You talked about... Go ahead.
Did we declare war on Syria, through Congress?
Of course not.
Well, no, the same way we did against Libya, the same way we did Afghanistan, the same way we did against Iraq.
Dictatorship, because it takes an act of Congress to declare war, and if we're bombing the shit out of them and we ain't declared war, what the hell is that?
No, what we did is we went over there and pointed love missiles at them and said, you're going to enter into an agreement, because we have no more cause to come into Syria than we did into Iraq. But what we're going to do, on this international scale, we're going to force you into an agreement with us, which should be an easy agreement with us, because you're not using chemical weapons, and we want you to get rid of all your chemical weapons. So then when we come in, have the Israelis come in and use some chemical weapons in your country, we can say you did it, and that's a violation of your agreement with us, which you never even had to have, because we had no goddamn business over your country. And then it becomes a United Nations issue. And even that, though the United Nations would not act, I mean, it became an international humanitarian issue, which directly threatens my personal liberties in the United States of America. So Trump, through his own dictatorial authorities under the War Powers Act, ordered the attack. I mean, I don't get what you're not getting here. Anyway, John, you talked about Somalia, the troop deployments to Somalia. Somalia, they're killing little children and women over there, those goddamn, those Islamic extremist people. They're killing babies. And also...
But the interesting backstory on Somalia is, you know, and I saw that movie with Tom Hanks, and, you know, based on a true story called Captain, whatever the hell his name was.
The Somali Pirates.
But see, here's the deal. Okay, Somalia has absolutely no industry, nothing, no exports. I mean, you know, that stuff they chew to get doped up. That's it. And so here you have all European countries with giant container ships going off the coast of Somalia, dumping medical waste, right, because they didn't know what to do with it. So they go off the coast of Somalia and dump their medical waste. People are getting sick. They're dying. They're getting lesions. It's killing all the damn fish. And the fish is the only damn thing they got basically to keep alive and make any kind of a living, and they killed that off. And so they turned to piracy, and people don't want to fucking talk about that.
Well, you're not quite on the mark there, Mike. Somalia, they do not have no industry. You're right. They do not, you know, the fishing and everything's a shit, but they do have something that they just found recently. You know what that is, John?
I'm going to guess Texas tea.
It's gold, my friends. Gold.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I got to believe that Somalia has oil around somewhere, but certainly gold, I would expect.
So all of a sudden, those babies became beautiful. Those beautiful little babies are being killed over there. So we got to go over there and beat these Somalians down and take their gold and their oil. That's how we rectify the situation. I mean, you go ahead and look back at Rwanda. Remember Rwanda, people, the great United Nations? You know how Trump, he jumped to go attack Syria because they showed a false flag of a handful, 63, I think it was, they were claiming 63 people killed with that they claimed sarin gas. In Rwanda, 1 million Christians were butchered. I'm not talking shot. I'm talking with fucking machetes, hacked to pieces, little babies, beautiful little babies, people. Hacked to pieces, and, well, the United Nations kind of just backed out of there because it really wasn't none of their business. It was an internal fight between two factions, and, there was no concern in it. But then Rwanda didn't have no gold, did they? I think that might be what it's about. I think it might be them wanting to go and take Somalia's. They finally found a way to take resources from them, so they've become important, and they love them like they love us.
Well, Henry, I'm sure we're going to be hearing about the reports of how some of them Somali warlords worked in there and put the babies on the ground, took them out of the incubators.
Exactly correct.
So it's all about the love, then.
It's about love, Mike. You should have known that. It's all about love.
I love the true love. I mean, not that I'm anti-Semitic.
You know the love that a man gets when that gold shines in his eye? It kind of dismisses everything, including morality.
If I get two more gold crowns, I'll look like a Jamaican pimp.
There you go.
I better not smile.
Don't smile like somebody like me and knock you in the head and take your goddamn teeth.
Bust your head and pull your teeth out with a pair of channel locks.
And going back to John, you were talking about the bankruptcy here. You know, the fact that the country is bankrupt technically by the fraud. But the fact is that all of that owed money is owed to the American people. We lend it to them, people. We lend it to them, and it's all owed to us. So when we go bankrupt and they tell us that we owe all this money, what we really owe is the money that we borrowed from them to pay back to them with interest. And I don't think that that's fair and square, but it's a very good deal for us.
Henry?
Yes, sir.
Don't you think that if they can print money out of thin air, everything after that, isn't it all fabricated? Isn't it all theater? If you can just print money out of thin air,
I think
where's the debt?
It's none of it can be real. The whole thing is operating on. You know, when they first wanted to start banks, when you had wanted to start a bank, what you had to do was like if you put $1 million worth of gold into the Federal Reserve. I mean, it was supposed to go into Fort Knox. So the gold's sitting there. That's what made you solvent, so that you could actually lend money because you actually had to have it back in them days. But as soon as they removed the gold standard and took all the gold, then it's been nothing but paper and pencils and now computer digits. It's all fab. It's not real. It's Like the air. It's not there, man.
Well, remember, how does a dollar come into existence? It starts with the creation of a bond. A bond is an IOU. What's the counterparty portion of a bond? That's American labor and work. That's our productivity. Yes. So the accounting scheme, and what the dollar is, it's the tradable version of a bond, because you can't walk into a deli, give them a bond, and take your gallon of milk. But you walk in with the tradable version of that bond, the smaller denominations called Federal Reserve notes, which is nothing more than the tradable portion of an IOU, and you can get that gallon of milk. But nonetheless, the bonds are the accumulation of what's been stolen from us. It's an accounting accumulation of what's been taken from us.
Absolutely. And then through fraud and manipulation, you take the contents of those bonds and you put them onto other ownership papers known as birth certificates. And you merge them with these dead corporations known as the American Nationals. And then that debt becomes them. And they're actually, we're walking around, we're just debt walking around looking to be liquidated. And no time at all, you can end up right where we're at if you allow this shit. I mean, you know, John, you talked about World War. That's one more thing I was going to. World War II, there were attacks on the U.S. up in the Aleutians. The Japanese did attack. There were battles.
Right. That wasn't CONUS. Those were over in the Aleutian Islands.
Yeah. I thought, you mean the continental U.S.? Oh.
Yeah.
There actually was one.
There was one with the Japanese high-altitude bombs that were automated to drop, and that was over in Oregon.
50 miles from where I'm sitting. I know some of the families of the people that were – I mean, it was after we came there. It was before we lived there. But I knew the families of some of the people that – it was a church group. And they went out in one of these bombs they'd floated over during World War II, had landed out in the woods there, and they went messing around with it, and it killed a bunch of them.
Yeah. Well, I was going to mention it, but I was talking about the Germans, and the Germans never attacked us from the West Coast.
No,
you know, they did attack us off the East Coast here, some of the U-boats. In fact, they sent quite a few U-boat patrols here to sink our shipping before it even went over the Atlantic. Which is kind of stupid if you think about it, because you're better off letting the Americans send their ships, expend all that fuel and everything, and just before it gets to its destination port, then you blow it up. Now the Americans wasted all that time and fuel to get the ship over before they even realized it never made its delivery, rather than take another 2 weeks of time before the Americans even realized the ships are gone. So I never quite understood their thinking in that, but it did happen here.
John, have you ever watched Humphrey Bogart's movie All Through the Night?
No, I never even heard of it.
Oh, really? Write this down, man. All Through the Night, Humphrey Bogart. It's a comedy, but it is so cool. It's about German fifth columns in the United States.
Oh, no, Henry, that's conspiracy theory. There's no fifth columns here. Otherwise, we might have to call AIPAC a fifth column.
John, this ain't me. This is Bogey, okay?
Oh, okay. Oh, well, Bogey says it.
Hello. Argue with that, man.
Henry, before we go off, let's mention also we got Pete Hendrickson coming up. And again, yep. We thank Kate for always being tenacious in advocating, what it is, the work he's done, and that fact that it works, because she's done it. So we know for a fact that it works. And, and certainly from what I understand, Mr. Hendricks has suffered a little bit from this, because anytime you go against the machine here, you know, that's the people that this cartel likes to squash, because they don't want people to realize, well, we're basically debt slaves.
Absolutely. Tenacious, bordering on vicious. That's why we love Katie. One more thing, you know, you were talking about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, and I have to disagree with you here, brother. The Bill of Rights is written perfectly. It can only be interpreted one way. It's written in fact. And the Constitution, wasn't no mishap, as evidenced by the Anti-Federalist Papers. Back before the Constitution was ever ratified, they in the Anti-Federalist Papers, they told you this is what they're going to do with this. They talked about the General Welfare Clause, and they talked about the Commerce Clause and how they were going to be used to enslave us. As experimentation becomes fact. Because that's exactly what happened, and it was and it was back then they knew. That's why they're doing it. And to pretend those people—I mean, you got the same group of people from different ilks that wrote the Bill of Rights, that wrote the Constitution. The Constitution was written, that Commerce Clause and that General Welfare Clause were deliberately put in there to subvert the people and take the property that they were held. You know, it's a trust. I mean, we talk about the Constitution's a contract, and it is a contract, and it is a trust. And I've read trusts, believe me. It's nauseating, the trusts I've read, to see how they're put together and when we studied it. And that's what the Constitution, and John, man, all due respect, I promise you, I could write that Constitution and that son of a bitch would be unalienable. It would be perfect. There would be no way to violate it because at the end of each statement would be the clause contingent to the ninth article of the People's Bill of Rights. And there would be a procedure laid out at the end of every statement. I don't give a goddamn if it was 200 pages long. There would be a statement at the end of each statement, there would be a clause. To show, to, for the common man to prosecute that public servant in, with ease and to see that the punishment is carried out. We never, there was no, they weren't trying, John. They did exactly what they wanted to do.
All right. Now let's say that was in fact done. Who would enforce it?
Well, it would have to be the common law courts, that, and there should be a warning to at the end of each thing that the common law courts must always be in place or this document is null and void. How about that? And if you give me a common law court, my brother, I will prosecute them.
Well, again, the problem wasn't the loopholes that were put in the Constitution. Let's say they were put there intentionally, as you're suggesting. I'm not going to dispute it.
This is not my suggestion. This is the suggestion of the people that wrote the Anti-Federalist Papers at the time it was being done.
Yeah, but I'm saying that there's enough substance there that the same mechanism of enforcement should have been done generations ago, especially in take 1933, where they just declared you're not allowed to own wealth. Right there was no argument whatsoever, no confusion about whether the government had overstepped its bounds, and now enforcement was required.
By that time, you had the criminals' cabals in total control. I mean, they didn't have the common law courts, but back in them days, John. Back in them days. I got an echo going. Back in them days, if you'd have went to the common law court, it was there. Now, they would have had their gangsters go out and kill your ass because there wasn't the kind of coverage, and you'd just be one guy going to do it. But, I mean, if the situation we're in here with total awareness through the Internet, man, you could prosecute if anything just started happening to you, the next son of a bitch would just step up, and there wouldn't be enough of them because there's more of you than there are of them, and they would all be prosecuted. But it was done.
Well, our legislature.
Go ahead.
Our legislature is supposed to stand up for us, you see.
Well, they, you know, a part of the bitch of the Anti-Federalist Papers was the representation that wasn't there. I mean, how many people are in the Congress, John? 200 or?
Well, in the Senate, you got 100, and in the Congress, you got, 540 or something like that?
540 people are supposedly representing 350 million. I mean, this is what they talked about in the Anti-Federalist Papers. It was orchestrated this way. Anyways, guys, I hate to stop here because everybody's jumping in. But
way undernumerated. You got that right.
There you go. Anyway, we are at the top of the hour. We will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, keep in mind, we're going to have Mr. Henderson up on Hendrickson up on Friday, and maybe you'll have a question for him. And that is The Word from the Trenches.
Okay.